The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Alan, and it is the first day of the deer firearm season, as we always do. We pre-record this show a week or so ahead of time. So Robin ain't here. Guessing she's sleeping. If not, she's listening to the show. But either way, she's keeping the home fires burning while I'm out pursuing the
elusive whitetail.
Hopefully it's the elusive whitetail. Might be the elusive sicken, even more elusive sicken. Yeah. And that other voice you hear chiming in there, that is the one and only Brian Eiler, who typically joins us on this show in this pre-recording. Brian Eiler is the Deer Project leader.
Used to be.
What are you now?
Now I'm the game mammal section leader. So next year at this time, we might have somebody else sitting in a seat with you, hopefully.
Game mammal section leader.
Yeah, so I oversee the fur bearer, bear, and deer programs.
So that means that Harry switched roles too.
Correct. Yeah, Harry was in that role.
Harry Spiker. You have Harry's old
position. I have
old
Harry's
job.
Old position, right.
I got
and
it.
And right now I'm pulling triple duty, so I'm doing bear, deer, and the section leader position.
Until
we hire a new. We're going to hire a deer bear project leader.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Sorry for springing that on you.
No. I knew there were changes in the air, and I knew when we were in Garrett County, we talked to Harry and I guess he hadn't done his duty at that point yet, assumed that role yet. But, I mean, I'm glad to hear you guys are moving on up.
Yeah, it'll be good to get some new blood in.
Yeah, some new blood.
Yeah, always good to mix things up.
Yeah, I did actually talk to Harry Spiker, the former bear project bear and fur bearer project leader, who's now what?
He is the associate director for regional operations. So he oversees, like, land management, WMAs,
he oversees that program. Yeah, we had quite a conversation the other day about the past, well, this year's
bear season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah. And why don't we just start there and tell everybody what happened. I'm, 54 bears?
Yeah, it was a very slow year. And, I mean, it's not just bears. It's deer as well, and it's not just Maryland. It's, like, I talked to all my counterparts in all the states around us, and we've all seen this low harvest number for deer. I can't say for bears in the other states, but for deer, definitely. And, so bears dropped off, to 54 bears this year, which is a very low drop.
And they continue to breed, so their population continues to increase.
And their population will continue to increase. So we rely on that healthy harvest, just like deer. We rely on that healthy harvest to keep the population in check.
Exactly.
It's been an odd year. It's been warm. Talking deer and bear now, and of course there's a lot of mast. I mean, I don't know where you're hunting or not.
But I don't have a lot of oak trees. I have some beech trees. I mean, Cecil County property has some oaks, but they're mostly red oak and black oak. There's not a lot of white oak.
Not as good
there.
For
deer.
But,
so the nutrition's not there. The farm fields have been stood longer than
late.
Everything's late there. So.
Yeah.
The typical transition from ag to mast has been a little bit delayed. I mean, if you look on social media, it looks like everybody's killing giant deer.
And the
youngsters are killing some good
deer.
Yeah,
and so. If you look, the numbers, if you dig a little deeper into the numbers, the overall kill is down quite a bit with deer. But if you look at the buck harvest, it's not down near as much as the animal.
I think people are getting the idea. We do have buck limits now, which are different, and we do have antler restrictions.
People
are going to let in most cases, going to let their spikes and 4 points go, you know, and looking for a bigger deer. And even the youngsters who bring, you know, we were almost a generation into the QDM management
type
program.
That's the only thing they know, you know.
Exactly.
And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. But we definitely see that. You know, we used to work check stations every firearm season. Now we work butcher shops every muzzleloader and firearm season. And the quality of the bucks coming in and the lack of yearling bucks is just, I mean, you can see it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, muzzleloader season, we rarely get a yearling buck.
Right.
They're all almost always 2.5+.
I talked to a deer processor the other day, and he said that week after early muzzleloader season, you know, I guess we had a full moon. And the week after the full moon, he said we had in 2 weeks – he said, we had 100 deer that guys wanted us to cape out for shoulder mounts.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, so that's anecdotal, but,
it stands to reason.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the number of bucks that I see now that they just European mount or skull cap.
Used to be shoulder mounts.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You know, it used to be. Now he's like, no, I got a couple bigger than that.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to European mount this, you know, or whatever.
I know it.
It's just like, wow. Yeah. We've come a long way. We really have, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you another one of the trends. You know, your taxidermists are so busy.
Yeah.
They're at least a year out on shoulder mount. And there's a lot behind that. I mean, their supplies chain is interrupted just like everybody else's.
Yep.
There's a waiting list at the tannery to tan your deer hides, and prices have gone up. The companies that are the mannequin manufacturers where your deer hide is mounted on, they're all being bought up by one source, and their supply chain is delayed, and their prices are increased. Glass eyes that you wouldn't think, but the same thing. So their prices are going up, but their wait times are getting longer.
Yeah.
So what a lot of these guys are doing is instead of having the taxidermist cut their racks off and, hang it in the rafters or put it wherever they put it to have their deer, before they have their deer mounted, they're getting their deer Euro mounted. And then, which is the whole skull. Mm-hmm. People don't know what a European mount is. Okay.
Yeah, it's the whole skull, basically.
They're having them so they can display those deer. And when it comes time, your taxidermist calls and says, hey, we're putting your deer on the form, bring your antlers in.
That's a good idea.
And then they cut the antlers off and put them
on the actual shoulder. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool.
The taxidermist I was working at in muzzleloader season, he said exactly everything you just said. I mean, can't get eyes, can't get the forms.
Tanneries, tannery is another big hang-up.
Yeah.
So,
and there's only so many tanneries now that even do it. So I'm sure there are really,
I think there's one, maybe two.
Yeah, I know there's one in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Not too far away.
Right.
I don't know where the other one is, but
And the meat processors are also in a bind because they can't find help. Number one,
right?
They have no value for deer hides anymore.
Right. Right.
So they've got all this other material that they would normally stack up salt. Said we can't even pay for salt to salt the deer hides and turn around even if we were to sell them.
Right.
And one of the major buyers of furs has passed away. So we've got issues out there in the deer world, that's for sure. So.
And most of our, for those that don't know, I mean, a lot of people probably don't know, but most of our hides, correct me if I'm wrong, but they go to China.
China and Russia.
Yeah, and they make gloves or whatever out of
China. China controls the fur trade in the world.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, the prices are very low right now because there are so many hides of everything, foxes, raccoons, deer, in cold storage somewhere, that the demand is dropped and the supply is overwhelming.
Yeah.
Just a complete flip of gasoline. So anyway. Well, good. Good introduction. I mean, that was good.
Yeah, we kind of jumped right into it. We might have missed the introduction. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure we had one, but that's okay. So anyway, Brian, I got to take a little break here at this moment. So for those of you who like to shoot high-powered rifles, well, Clyde Sports Shop is your full-line Browning dealer. And as always, I'm going to talk about the one and only X-Bolt. This firearm is a bolt-action big-game hunting piece of equipment that was built for big game hunting perfection. Extremely accurate, all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers an adjustable feather trigger and detachable rotary magazine. Clyde's has a great supply of them in all models, including the Hell's Canyons model, which are a little different. They've got the Arid Urban Camo, a Cerakote finish, fluted Sporter barrel with a threaded muzzle brake, and more. Make sure you check out the X-Bolt, both X-Bolt and Hell's Canyon X-Bolt at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. For firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting, it's Clyde Sports Shop. Folks, do you have that beautiful fireplace in your house that you just never use because it's too much work? Well, Robin and I did too. It's just a hole in the wall that sucked all the heat out of the room. We fixed that when we visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's on Kent Island, the premier fireplace, stove, and hearth dealer in the region. We selected an Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's did the installation and provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service. We both enjoy the convenience with the remote control, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert. You know, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries both Enviro and Regency brands. Here's the thing, though, with the worldwide shortage of computer chips, it could be delayed, your idea of owning a new fireplace insert. Hearth America has plenty on supply right now, but act now while supplies last. You can select a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Stop into the showroom soon so you'll be ready for the coming cold weather. BackyardBilly's.com, Hearth America Facebook, 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billy's open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44B, Evans Avenue, Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the fireplace. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. Waterfowl season is finally here, and they are your Waterfowl HQ, the largest selection of waterfowl calls in the area, all major brands. They've got Steel Shot by Kent and others. They've got banded camo and all kinds of gear. They've got Avery decoys, firearms and ammunition, including Remington, Choppa, Savage, muzzleloaders and accessories by Thompson Center and CVA, Yeti coolers, and Costa sunglasses. And don't forget, they've got those Rambo electric bikes in stock. The hottest crossbows in stock, too. 10-point, Raven, Mission, and more. The Matthews Solo Cambos, including the new V3. Custom arrows, bow tuning, and accessories. The large selection of clothing and boots with thousands of hunting accessories. Why not stop by? They've got a Christmas present for the outdoorsman on your list. Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, Kent Island, 1707 Main Street, Chester, Maryland. That's Chesapeake Outdoors at 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. And we'll be right back after these messages. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, a weekend warrior, your Linex bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any other kind of tools, your Linex bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call, 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called ValueGuard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Bay Linex at Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex install your Linex spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex.
Listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
All right, we're back. Robin ain't here, but Brian Eiler is.
I am.
Hey,
thanks,
Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, always a pleasure doing this on the first day of deer season. So we're talking a little bit. We didn't talk on the air about the harvest, did we?
We were missing bears and deer there for a little bit.
Yeah, we did. But let's talk about deer now. It's been extremely warm, a lot of rain, bad weather. and all that. You're telling me that the early harvest numbers are not looking that hot.
Yeah, so, well, muzzleloader was actually up. So, I mean, okay. You know, I don't get real excited over these numbers because in the end they always seem to shake out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the early archery season, you know, we put out a release through the end of October.
Right.
The archery harvest was down significantly to the tune of, 30% or something.
Wow, okay. Right.
But then muzzleloader, you know, they made up for it in muzzleloader. Muzzleloader was up like 10 or 11%.
I got it.
Percent.
Okay.
So, yeah. So overall, you know, last year through the end of October, I think we harvested around 19,000, and this year we're around 16,000.
I got it.
So,
And the numbers for the youth season are off a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. I think last year, I don't have the final numbers yet, but last year we were around 2,100, and this year we're like 1,900
right.
and something. So
got it.
Right there in the ballpark.
Yeah.
But again, you know, if you look at the composition of the harvest, the antlered versus the antlerless, it's more of a drop in the antlerless. And we tend to watch that buck harvest as the metric for the population. If we don't, you know, if that buck harvest doesn't drop off as much, then that's pretty good assurance that it's not really a population issue with the deer. It's something else.
No weather related, food related,
or whatever.
Got
it. And buck harvest, the buck harvest isn't down a whole lot.
Good.
You know, and you got COVID too. I don't know how COVID's playing into this. You know, I'm sure there's some hunters out there that aren't hunting deer this year, given the news that, you know, deer are carrying antibodies. And we can talk about this later if you want.
But I really don't want to.
Yeah, we don't have to.
I'm not sure. Now, what happened when that word dropped among deer managers across the country that COVID was detected in? How many deer and where?
So, well, there's been two different cases or two different studies. The first announcement dropped by USDA a couple months ago.
Right.
They looked at deer in Pennsylvania and several other states, and they found that whitetail deer were carrying antibodies for SARS, you know, COVID-19.
Is that unusual?
I don't know if it's unusual. I don't know that it's been looked at, but it's definitely newsworthy. I mean, it's legitimate. It's legitimate to look at. So that was the first case, and then just here within the last week or two of us talking, Penn State released a study where they looked at deer in Iowa, and they found like 80% of the deer were carrying antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not carrying the virus, you know, not saying that they were, you know, that they could transmit that virus to humans, but they were carrying antibodies, meaning that they were exposed to that virus.
The virus, in my opinion, is endemic. I mean, it is out there.
Right.
And if
right.
you're breathing air, you're going to inhale some of this virus
right. we shouldn't
somewhere.
We shouldn't be terribly surprised. And deer are social animals, so, you know, deer are going
right.
to be coming into contact with each other. So we shouldn't be necessarily surprised that they're carrying antibodies. Yeah. Maybe that percentage. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, like I said, it's newsworthy for sure. But there's no evidence that, one, that it's having any issue with deer populations, because we would be getting reports.
Of course.
If there was, you know, like for hemorrhagic disease, you know, we get reports all the time.
We'll touch on that in a minute.
Yeah, and then it doesn't look like it's a human issue at this time either, because these deer were probably out there last hunting season as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're through 1.5 hunting seasons now, and there's not been any evidence that a person can contract the virus from butchering a deer or whatever, handling a deer.
Yeah.
Not saying it can't happen, but, you know.
Right.
So we're just, you know, we're actually going to participate in some work. I think we're going to see some deer sampled from Maryland, and I'm not going to be surprised when it comes back that they're carrying antibodies,
right.
to be truthful with you.
Yeah.
So we're, yeah, it's on our radar. We're going to be looking at it. But okay. Best thing we can tell hunters, you know, is just, you know, when you're field dressing or whatever, watch the respiratory tract. I mean, that's where it's, you know, lungs, you know, trachea, et cetera. That's where it would be if it's any threat at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and wear gloves and just be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing we can tell you. But there's not any evidence so far that it's a risk. So.
Got it. EHD, hemorrhagic disease. What do we got for this year?
Quiet this year. Believe it or not, we had just had one report from Cecil County within the last 2 weeks, And it had the sores. It was in water, near water, and right next to the stream and all. Mm-hmm. So it was already too far going to get a test from. But
we're not hearing it in southern Maryland.
No,
on the eastern shore.
And that's typical.
I'm hearing. You hear. Oh, they found 14. What? Okay.
We haven't heard it. Normally, our phone rings
if it's
any significant numbers. We have. That's the only report that I've had this year is from Cecil County.
Okay. Acidosis.
I haven't had any reports of acidosis or,
We're seeing it. I mean,
are you?
Well,
what are you calling acidosis?
Acidosis is.
What's the symptoms? What do you think? What do you see in the deer?
Skinny deer, unafraid, a lot of fecal material, diarrhea.
Young deer.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's not necessarily acidosis. I mean, we have probably tested a dozen of those deer over the years, and it always just comes back that they're carrying a really high parasite load. So I don't know that it's necessarily acidosis you're seeing. It's probably fawns that were orphaned, too young. They weren't weaned, and they just never catch up. Slowly degrade, and but we see that quite a bit, and I don't think that's probably acidosis more than likely.
Is acidosis more of a mature deer?
It can be any deer. It's just, corn. I mean,
year-round corn.
We talked about it last year.
Yeah, we did.
The impacts from disrupting that rumination process.
Right.
But it's been a quiet year for all of that stuff. Good. I mean,
that's good.
We're fortunate. Because last year,
brain abscess disease.
We had one. I've had one abscess case in the last, and it was also interestingly, it was either Harford or Cecil County, camera, which of the two it was. But I had one buck not a big buck, but that had a brain abscess. He was just standing, neurological issues, and our field technician, he euthanized it, and then did a rough necropsy on it and found the abscess in the brain.
Interesting stuff. I mean, they're wild animals. They're living in the wild. Things affect them.
Mother Nature's rough.
There's no doubt about that. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Well, we covered all the nasty stuff. So this year, let's talk opening day. Last year, people were posting on social media, man, I'm helping the deer population here in my county. I just shot a coyote today, and they get a phone call from Natural Resources. Which then led to further discussions, which meant that NRP is not really enforcing so much the fine for killing a coyote on the opening day of deer season. Know it's there. People get warnings. People get, phone calls and so forth. But people are justified because they're saying, okay, well, I read in the book you're allowed to kill a coyote 24/7, 365.
Right. So that's kind of that's a discrepancy in our
and it was fixed.
Language.
It was a fix.
So, it's interesting. It's only that opening day of deer season when you can't harvest anything else other than sea ducks
and deer,
by law, you know. So we did have that pop up last year. But it also does say you can harvest coyotes 365 days a year. So to clarify that, if you're out there opening day and you have a coyote come by and you choose to harvest it or shoot it, you are allowed to do that.
Exactly. I'm going to urge my grandson not to do that. He shoots a 257 Weatherby Magnum. Box of bullets is $80.
Yeah, it's an expensive coyote.
He took him 9 shots to sight in. I said, "You owe me $40."
Yeah.
He goes, "Why?"
Yeah.
I said, "You're shooting $5 bullets." But you know what? I do it all the time just to have that young man hunt with me.
Exactly. So. It's worth it.
Yeah, indeed. So, how'd your kids do youth season? Anything?
No, mine are too old for youth season.
Are they really?
Yep, they're too old for youth season. So, yeah.
Wow.
My oldest one, he's in college now, so he hasn't even been out yet. Hopefully we're going to get out here in firearm season.
Yeah.
If not, then we'll be out in late muzzleloader for sure. But, it's been tough to get out so far this year.
You and I both. So, I've been out a couple times. The beauty of it is my target buck is back. He wasn't there last year at all.
No,
I saw him the last day of muzzleloader season in 2021, didn't see him all of 2020 and 20. When the hell did January 2021.
21, right. When I saw him. This year.
But I didn't see him. No.
January of this year.
I didn't see him at all in the season last year. So it must have been January of 2020 was the last time I saw him.
January 2020 was the last time I saw him. He's got it figured out if he's survived that long.
Yeah, but I did see him a couple weeks ago.
Good.
And he's still just as magnificent as he was. So that's cool. Yep. So seen a lot of big deer up in Garrett County this year. Their QDM is working up there.
Yeah. It's good.
And that's both public and private as well. So, hey, look, we got to take a commercial break. So
the Great American Outdoor Show is back with a 9-day event, February 5th through the 13th at the Pennsylvania Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's the world's largest outdoor sports show with over 1,000 exhibitors, more than 200 seminars from outdoor pros, over 400 hunting and fishing outfitters, and interactive events and entertainment for the whole family. With 650,000 square feet of guns, hunting, fishing, and archery. Tickets are on sale now at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. Don't miss it.
We'll be right back after these messages. Burbender Sharpening is a world-renowned knife sharpening business located right here in Maryland. As a matter of fact, if you've ever seen a cooking show on your favorite food channel, Jimmy from Burbender's most likely sharpens their knives. But wait, there's more. As anglers and hunters, we depend on our knives to fillet fish, field dress game, and lots of other chores. As regular folks, we mow our lawn, cut our wood, and cook our food. We use scissors and shears and chainsaws and a host of tools that need to be sharp for best results. Burbender's sharpens everything. Burbender's is located at 214 Mayo Road in Edgewaters, open Monday through Saturday, 8 till 3. And on Mondays, they even set up their mobile unit at Homestead Gardens in Severna Park from 9 till 2. You can always swing by their Edgewater shop for a quick turnaround or check burbenders.com for how and where to mail in your knives and tools for sharpening. Call toll-free 888-724-4769. That's 888-724-4769 with any question. Burbender specializes in the sharpening of high-end cutlery and can renew your household knives to better than new. Take all your kitchen knives to Burbender's. You won't be sorry. Burbender Sharpening in Edgewater sharpens everything. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment, and you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range, is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting, and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range. We all want clean water, and that pond on your family's property really needs cleans. Vegetation has overtaken it, and sediment is slowly filling it in. You know, something needs to be done. And you have questions. What chemicals can I use? Will the fish die? Do I have to hire some guy with a backhoe? How expensive will it be? Legacy Waters Environmental Services has the answers. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is a family-owned, Maryland-based company that has invested in the specialized equipment that hydraulically removes sediment and vegetation from ponds, lakes, and waterways. They use no chemicals. The fish remain alive with no need to restock, and the choking vegetation and invasive plants are gone. Gone. The best part is Legacy Waters Environmental Services is committed to providing affordable solutions which will revitalize your pond. Legacy Waters Environmental Services is dedicated to leaving the smallest possible footprint and to preserve the quality of your waterway for generations. To learn more or schedule an appointment to review what your pond requires, visit the website legacywatersenv.com or call 410-357-1622. And you can see the job site videos on the Legacy Waters Facebook page. Call 410-357-1622 for Legacy Waters Environmental Services, leaving water better than when we found it.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM, the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, Robin ain't here. So this is first day of deer season broadcast. Brian Eiler is, though. Brian and I have been talking about primarily about deer season, deer hunting, and things like that. We do want to touch, for those of you who are leaving us in this last segment here at the end of the first hour, do want to touch base about a little bit about safety.
Yeah, we always sound like a broken record, I know, but we can't stress enough. Be safe, especially if you're in a tree stand. That's our number one accident every year is people falling out of tree stands, and you always think that it's not going to happen to you, but boy, it can happen to you, and it can mess your life up, you know, in a hurry.
I'm going to tell you something. You gotta check your stand. You got to put some weight on it. You got to be strapped in when you do that. We had a friend of ours fall out of a lock-on stand this year. Fortunately, had his harness on. He was able to recover. But the both the what kind of cinch straps broke at the same time.
Wow! Yeah,
and he'd been in it earlier in the season.
Yeah,
and I don't know if the rain or whatever something got to it.
Yeah,
degraded those straps and he went. I mean, and he said, there is no exit strategy. You know, you might think you can jump to the next tree or something. Yeah. No, it happens too fast.
Yeah, gravity's a little faster than we are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But a couple of years ago, we heard about a property that had a lot of these lock-on stands in the salt marsh.
Yeah.
And the cables actually rusted through.
Rusted through, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And one of those went out from under a fella. Again, strapped in, saved his own life,
yeah.
And all those climbers, lock-ons have now been replaced with aluminum stands and way thicker steel cables.
Yeah, it's probably stainless.
Stainless steel cables, exactly.
Yeah, that salt air is just brutal.
Oh, it is brutal.
Yeah,
no question.
But yeah, you know, I think we've had at least one tree stand accident this year so far, and maybe more than that, but I've heard of at least one. And
yeah,
that's, you know, there's always a dozen or more of them every year.
Every year,
and, you know, and some of them are fatalities, you know.
That's true.
But, a good friend of mine, last year he fell out of one and broke his foot, you know, and was out of commission for 3 or 4 months waiting for that.
We've done a couple stories in the quarterly about that. You know, that Brian Fisher comes to mind. His leg below his knee looked like a Z.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's not a pleasant sight.
No, and you know, and it's not just while you're up there. You know, I mean, it's, you know, when you're, a lot of the accidents are happening while you're climbing in or climbing out, and you know, have a rope there, you know, that you can tie into while you're going up, and, you know, use a prussic knot, and there's good videos and all out there, and of course the vests and all they have now, it's very simple, you know, to get hooked up with in one and everything.
Yep, exactly. There's even a device that if you fall, it slowly allows you to fall. It's a one-time use, and it's like $60.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, if you don't have any other hope and you're hooked into this thing, it's just going to lower you to the ground.
Yeah, it just has a certain minimum number of stitches, I think, and it's basically just
pop.
Yeah,
yep,
I've seen those too.
So.
And then, you know, and be prepared too that, you know, even with your harness on, understand that, you know, it could save you from falling, but then you could have issues if you got to hang up there for any length of time with blood clot issues, you know, circulation issues, and also. And they make devices to help with that, you know, where you can actually put weight, you know, you can strap and put a weight on it if you have to. And I guess the main thing is have your cell phone.
Have your cell phone
where
in your pocket.
Where you can get to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, have it somewhere that you're not going to drop it if you do pull it out.
Exactly. Or keep it in some kind of holder on your stand or something. Make sure it's in your pocket.
Yeah, that you can get to your cell phone when you're hanging there because you don't want to be hanging there for all night, you know.
I don't want to be hanging there at all.
At all, yeah.
The worst case that ever happened to me was the first bear hunt up in I was up in Savage River State Forest, and Andy Simmons was my sub-permittee. And my climber, the bottom of my climber, kind of walked down the tree below me, you know, and I couldn't reach it. I'm sitting on the seat, and I can't reach this thing with my legs. And I'm like, Andy, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, well, I can reach it. I said, great. Well, you do that, and I'll kind of, you know, we worked it out, and of course I'm here today. But, that, you know, crazy things happen.
Yeah,
you know,
they do.
Especially when you're up in the air.
Yeah, and they happen quick. So the tree stands, you know, that's number one. And, of course, you know, it's firearm season, so we have fluorescent orange or fluorescent pink requirements. And even if you're on private land, wear that orange because you don't know who else might be on that land that shouldn't be there.
Exactly.
You know, and it's not going to interfere with your hunt.
No,
to be safe and, you know, to use
You want to explain why deer can't – we haven't done this a lot, but explain why deer can't see those bright colors. We see them, but why can't a deer see them?
The spectrum and the way their eyes are, you know, are designed. So
they see shades of gray.
They see shades of gray.
50 shades of gray.
Yeah, they're color. They're essentially colorblind, you know.
Right.
I mean, unlike a lot of animals, you know, songbirds, turkeys. You know,
they're
not colorblind. But, yeah, deer are colorblind to photoreceptors in their eyes and all. But
most mammals, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be most.
A lot of mammals.
Yeah, a lot of mammals.
Pretty much anything we hunt is colorblind.
Yeah, pretty much anything we hunt. But yeah, I don't know what percentage of how the percentages do shake out. But, yeah, they're essentially colorblind, so they're seeing in shades of gray for the most part. So orange, you know, if you want to break your orange up a little bit with camouflage orange or something, you can do that. But yeah, it's been demonstrated that, you know, it's not going to interfere with your hunt.
No, I stood up in the full blaze orange jacket and walked towards a herd of deer in deer season.
Yeah.
And it didn't. You just got to be careful with your movements. You got to be
right,
careful.
Right, your movements.
Use the wind. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the wind is the big thing.
Basic woodsmanship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So. Well, that's cool. We covered the safety. Of course, the firearms thing you did say about the orange, but watch your muzzle.
Oh, yeah, right. And when you get to the gun itself, yeah, for sure. You know, keep it on safety. Keep your finger off the trigger till you're ready to shoot. And always keep the muzzle in a safe direction.
And what do they tell you? What do they teach in hunter safety about a safety on a firearm?
A mechanical device designed to fail.
Designed to fail. I've heard that so many times.
Yeah.
But it's true. Sometimes that particularly a bolt-action rifle, you can almost surpass that safety. And you just want to be very careful in the direction.
Yeah, always keep the fundamental rule of hunter safety. Always keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction.
In a safe direction.
First and foremost.
Yep.
Yeah, first and foremost.
Exactly.
And be familiar with your weapons, obviously.
Oh, sure.
Don't go out cold turkey with a new gun or a new whatever. Make sure you're familiar with it, how it works. And, have it shot in and be prepared before you ever head to the field.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep. And it's a fun process if you do it with other people as far as shooting a firearm.
Is.
I mean, it might be a hassle on the range as far as waiting for range time and that type of thing. But, you know, if you got a place in the country you can go and shoot or have some friends that have some places, you can go and do that and make sure, of course, you shoot in a safe direction. There are other facilities, a few on the Eastern Shore that you can do that. You got to pay a little bit. But some of the clubs I remember AGC in Marriottsville used to have like hundreds of people waiting, and they don't have those big events anymore. You got to pre-qualify for your management hunts, and that takes a lot of that out of it. But sighting in on a certain day, that used to be a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It was almost as fun as the hunt sometimes, you know. I mean,
could be. No question about it. So.
Yeah, be familiar with your gun and you know, be confident in being able to shoot it, and it'll
what if I want to take my bow or crossbow firearm season? What do I got to do?
So you can do that. So, you know, we're a lesser weapon state. which means that you can use a bow, crossbow, or muzzleloader in firearm season, and during muzzleloader season, you could also choose to use a bow or muzzleloader. But whatever deer you harvest counts towards whatever season is in. So,
right.
So if you're hunting in firearm season and you take one with a bow or a muzzleloader, it still counts as your firearm bag limit.
Right.
And same way with muzzleloader, you can hunt with a bow in muzzleloader season, but if it's that first 3 day either sex season, it counts towards that muzzleloader season, and you have to have a muzzleloader stamp
right
to be out there, even though you are carrying a bow.
And you must wear your orange.
And you have to wear your orange. Correct.
250 square inches, a vest or hat or both.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Yep. Minimum is a hat.
And if you're in a ground blind and it's a season where you would otherwise have to be wearing orange, you have to have the blind marked with that amount.
250
of
square inches of orange. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. When you say marked, how do most people mark it?
I think you could hang your hat on the outside of it, or put flat, put a hanging on the next tree or over. There's different ways. Some of the blinds come with.
Yes.
Actually, it's a flap where you just flop the flap down.
Exactly.
And it's, the orange is right there. So it's discretionary as far as how you want to do it.
Just so it's outside the blind somewhere and that people know where your blind is.
Yeah, and preferably like on top of the blind.
Yeah.
That way it's visible 360 degrees.
Exactly.
For your safety.
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed, indeed. So, well, that covers safety for a little bit. We still have some time left, of course, in this hour. So is there anything that you want to say from a deer manager's perspective? And we'll talk about sika deer maybe a little bit.
Yeah, we can talk about sika deer then. So, but, yeah, they're doing really well, obviously. Plenty of sika. The harvest, we've seen a decline in the harvest this year, but sika haven't dropped off as much. They're down as well, but not as much.
Generous bag limits or the frags higher?
Good question. So, yeah, good question. No, I think there's just more of them. So, they're doing really well for sure.
Now, next year's a regulation.
Yeah, we're actually heading into a regulation.
Yeah,
we do regulations every 2 years.
So right. Anything on the table for
nothing on the radar at this point. We're at the very beginning of the process, so we'll have public input.
Well, Steve Rinella ruined sika deer hunting on the Eastern Shore.
He definitely popularized it a little bit, Brian, I think.
That he did.
I think he likes hunting them too, I think.
I think he does.
Yeah.
But the diehards don't like him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, the meat eater segment. But there have been other TV shows and other shows done about sika deer. This one just seemed to strike a nerve with somebody.
He's very popular.
Yeah.
And for good reason.
Meat eater, sure.
But I've done I've probably had interviews like we're doing right now with three or four, including him. I did a podcast with him.
Right.
But they've all been down there and chased him and hunted
sure.
him at one point or another. But, yeah, he just has a good following.
No question.
Yeah.
I mean, but, I remember Bob Folkrot did an event.
Yeah, I did an interview with Bob.
At the big box down the road.
Yeah.
And, we were part of that as well. But Bob was supposed to be on private land hunting this year, and I don't want to tell tales out of school, but he tripped over his dog and hit his head the day before he was supposed to come down.
Wow.
Wound up in the hospital for a couple hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he still in Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was down Jim Zumbo. I did an interview with him years ago.
Well, Jim has the inside track with some folks that have some very good sika deer property down there.
And there's been one or two other ones too. I can't think of them offhand now.
Sure.
They're definitely popular.
No question. And they keep opening more of Blackwater.
Buying
more properties and keep that place has expanded exponentially.
Yeah, yeah, so they have a very active hunt. For sure. I think they sold out of archery permits this year. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know if that's typical. Maybe that's every year. I don't know. But, yeah, I did.
COVID.
I did hear that. Yeah, that would have been last year for sure. But it's funny. They're still you'll go down in firearm season and you can go out through the week of firearms and there's a lot of public lands that there's not a car sitting in the parking
lot. That's
true.
That's true.
Through the week. So, it just seems like everybody goes for the opening weekend or
weekend
whatever.
Warriors.
Yep.
I got it.
So.
All right. Hey, we got to do something here.
We have this new fireplace insert. It's not so new anymore, but it sure is nice. It heats this room back here like crazy. We bought it from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. They've got everything that you might want to look at for the outdoors as far as your yard and your deck and your beach house. They've got it all. Backyard Billy's is your go-to place for making backyards fun. A giant selection of colorful, weatherproof poly outdoor and patio furniture, including tables and chairs, and like 300 or 500 of those Adirondack chairs in stock. Great gifts. You can see all that from Route 50 at Exit 44 in Kent Island. You'll find swing sets, and great Christmas presents for the kids, of course, and storage sheds, free setup and delivery within 60 miles, and free delivery to Maryland and Delaware beaches. Inside Backyard Billy's showroom, you can check out the barbecue grills, pellet grills by Traeger, ceramic smoker grills by Kamado Joe, Big Green Egg, all at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. There's a huge assortment of outdoor fire pits and rings to warm up those chilly fall evenings. Keep in mind, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace, stove, and hearth dealer in the region. BackyardBilly's.com or call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500, open 7 days a week. Route 50 at Exit 44B, Evans Avenue, Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look just great.
We'll be right back. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, a waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, and any kind of tools. Your Linex Bedliner resists most chemicals and will not crack, bubble, or peel. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. That's 487-6405. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie can install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called Value Guard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie install your Linex spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, Brian Eiler, thanks for joining us this morning for the first hour.
Thanks for having me.
You going to stick around for the second hour?
I will stick around for the second hour.
And we hope all of our listeners do as well.
Well, thanks. Yeah, they could be out there hunting.
Yeah, let's hope they get hunting.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Robin usually does this part, but I'll do this part. Get out, stay out. Today, especially, stay extremely safe. And we'll see you next hour.